last week I read a lot of text, and I had the liturgist read a lot of text. We were talking about the feeding of 5,000, and right in the middle of the feeding of 5,000 is this little episode where the disciples are rowing across the lake at night, and Jesus comes up to them on the thing. I'm going to read that one, but I also want you to know that while this is in John, this episode is talked about slightly differently in like Matthew and Luke. So I'm going to read the Matthew one, and then we'll talk about that a little bit. Okay? So here we go. This is the John text right here. Jesus walks on water. This is John 6:16-21. That evening, Jesus' disciples went down to the shore to wait for them. But as darkness fell and Jesus still hadn't come back, they got into the boat and headed across the lake toward Capernaum. Soon a gale swept down upon them and the sea grew very rough. They had rowed 3 or 4 miles when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat, and they were terrified. But he called out to them, "Don't be afraid, I'm here." Then they were eager to let him in the boat, and immediately they arrived at the destination. Okay, that's the Gospel of John and how that works in there. But you know this in Matthew. This is in Matthew 13. This is that same episode, Matthew 13. Okay, right after feeding. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. And while he sent the people home, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for there was a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 in the morning, or midnight, or late, or you know, if you don't have a watch, the difference between midnight and 3 is a little harder to find, right? Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they cried out, terrified in their fear, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them and said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here." And then Peter called to him and said, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." So Peter went over to the side of the boat and I'm sorry, I skipped a verse. Yes, come, said Jesus. So Peter went over to the side of the boat and walked toward Jesus on the water. But when he saw the strong waves and the wind, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" Okay, this is what I wanted to talk about a little bit today. You've seen God at work, right? The text, John 6, they've seen God at work. People have been fed in the desert. Have you seen God at work near your life? You've seen God at work. Now you're off in life and you want to join him in that work. And he says, come join me in the work. Peter says, "Come, if it's really you, Jesus, tell me to come out of the boat and I'll walk on water to you." And so Jesus says, "Yes, come." You've seen Jesus at work. You want to join him in that work. And it doesn't really, and I need you to understand, it doesn't really matter what it is that Jesus has laid on your heart to do. It will feel like walking on water. How many of you think you can walk on water? Peter, I'm pretty sure Peter thought, well, if Jesus says I can do it, I can do it. Now, I need you to hear this in your own life. It doesn't matter what he's laid on your heart to do. Without him, you're not going to be able to do it right. You will sink into the water or the waves. You'll look at the task and go, "I'm in trouble. Jesus, help me." I just want you to hear the story from Peter's perspective. You do this. Dave does this. My Sunday school class this morning, we were talking about how you might serve God, not just in the building. Did you notice that last week? My Sunday school class was the one that served communion. See, everybody can serve. Some of them, their first question was, are you sure we're able? Yes, come. You can do it. Can we have Boy Scout Sunday? Yes, come. Do it. The invitation to come always comes with the ability to do it, but also comes with the same thing that I get every day. Every Sunday, I come up here and I have butterflies. I sit here and think, can I pull off what I want to talk about? Is it going to work? Is it going to make sense? Am I going to speak English in front of people? All of those things go on inside of me, not because I'm worried about whether or not I'll embarrass myself. I've done that plenty. But because I want to represent God well. And so I get nervous. And if I'm going to speak about God and I'm going to do a good job, I'm going to need his help. And I will look at the task. If I don't have his help, I will look at the task just like Peter looks at the wind and the waves and goes, ah, I'm sinking. And it doesn't matter what the task is. It doesn't matter what the task is. Have you, any of you ever heard Jesus say, yes, come try this? And as soon as you got there, you thought, ah, I can't do it. Now, I look around the room, and I know some of you have done it because I know you've asked me, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. I could never fill those shoes. I could never do it the way the other person did it. I could never. And the talk just goes on, right? The self-talk. Ah, Jesus, help me. Ah, I need help. Yes, you do. But he is so available to be the help. That's the story of this right now. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed Peter. You had so little faith. Did you notice he doesn't say, why did you doubt you? I really want to spend a little bit of time on Jesus sitting there going, look, I asked you to come. Why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me? Jesus has become trustworthy to them. He's not playing practical jokes on them. Well, maybe he was. I don't know. It's not in the text. But he's been trustworthy to them. So trustworthy that Peter, in the middle of a storm, sees Jesus walking in the middle of the night on the water and says, if it's really you, tell me to come to you out on the water. And he says, yes. And he gets out of the boat. I want you to think about this for a second. How trustworthy has Jesus become that Peter gets out of the boat? Would you have gotten out of the boat in that location? Now, be honest. No. But Jesus has proven himself so trustworthy to Jesus that if he, or Jesus to Peter, that if Jesus tells Peter to do it, Peter gets out of the boat. Now, that's an amazing little reaction. Just listen to this. Jesus says, come, and he goes, okay. Now, how easy is that for us? Jesus has come, okay, but then you start thinking about the task. Ah, I need help. Ah, Jesus, save me. Ah, I'm sinking. Ah, this is too much for me. Not only has Jesus become so trustworthy that he got him into a spot where he knew he couldn't do it. By the way, that is kind of the ministry opportunity for all of life. Jesus will invite you into things that you don't feel capable of doing on your own. As I look around the room, I know if you've had this conversation with me, don't raise your hand, okay? I'm not looking to point you out. But if you've had this conversation with me about how you can't do something, but you feel like Jesus is leading you into it, maybe you haven't had this conversation with me. Maybe you've had this with another pastor or a friend or something like this. This is the text for you. Now, there's all sorts of water overtones in this text. How many of you can calm the storm on your own in the sea? You walk up on the Columbia River in a high wind and you just go, and it works. You only tried once. Did it work? Did it work? I tell you, I went out on a lake with a friend. He took me out fishing on Rock Lake, which is south of Spokane. And as you drive south of Spokane on I-90 and you're heading out there and you get to Sprague, there's that big lake right there. That lake is really shallow. But if you go about 10 miles in, you have a lake about 200 feet deep. And we're out in this thing and the wind kicked up. And I wasn't sure that I was more afraid of the wind or how fast that guy was trying to get off that lake. He was talking about, we're on the other end of this lake. The wind is up. Maybe we ought to beach the boat and wait it out. He was used to the waters, but he was in the spot where this is what ministry opportunity feels like so often. How fast can I get out of what I just said yes to? How fast can I backtrack my moment? How fast can I depend on myself and not God? But the water is chaos all the way throughout the Bible. Just need you to hear that. Water, the stormy seas are chaos. It's things we don't understand. In Genesis 1, everything is chaos and God hovers over it and speaks peace and shape into the world. At the Exodus, they're up against the Red Sea, and the armies of Egypt are coming up against them, and God tells Moses what to do, and a way is made through the chaos that is that moment. You can even hear them if you put yourself in their shoes. Help, God, save us. We're in trouble here. One of the main armies of the ancient world, the Egyptians, are coming down on us. We're done for. Up, path through the sea. Over and over and over again, things like this happen in the Bible. And the water, God always speaks into the moment that we're at when we start thinking, I can't do this. I think it's important to note that Jesus doesn't actually ask all of us to walk on water. Phew. I heard that over here. Phew. God doesn't ask you to walk on water. He invites you into a task where he's there with you. And it doesn't really matter what the task is. I bet if you asked Bev, when she first started doing Children's Moment, if she thought she could do that on Sunday morning and be meaningful, she just said, Lord, help me. Every Sunday morning, depending on the size of the crowd, right? The water of the chaos is in front of you on every task. The bells, the people that play Linda and Roxanne, can you just learn this and do this by yourself the first time? Singing together, playing guitar. Maybe our Boy Scouts felt that way this morning. I don't know if I can do this. This doesn't make any sense. Look, it doesn't matter what the task is. Pie Sunday. I don't think I can arrange that. Help. I just want you to hear that over and over again in your life. When Jesus invites you out, we need to get used to going over to the edge of the boat and stepping out when he says so. Now, that's the first lesson. How do you learn to do that? How do you learn to go, if it's you, tell me and I'll come? So that's the first stage of following Christ. If it's you, Jesus, if that's really you, tell me to come and I'll do it. Now, notice, I don't want you to get the cart before the horse. Before you can do something, you have to say, yes, I'll do it. See, because nobody who won't say yes ever does anything. I've made a deal of this in my ministry cohort that meets every so often in Spokane. About twice a year, one of them asks me how I talk to my church about giftedness and all that stuff, and how I equate and categorize people's gifts and all that. And I always have the same answer for them. If they say yes and they will do it, that's how we start to find out what their giftedness is. We don't take a bunch of tests and we go, well, you have a giftedness for this, and maybe we should just force you into that thing. Here's the thing. Doesn't matter how gifted you are, if you won't say yes and do it, doesn't matter how gifted you are, you won't do it. And so we look at giftedness here. We talk about this in the office. They said yes, and they'll do it. So the first part of that is saying yes. The first part of that is saying yes, is getting over to the edge of the boat and sort of getting ready to climb out. And you can almost feel the dance going on in their feet, right? I don't know. That looks a little scary. Have any of you ever taken on a task that looked a little scary? So you know what it's like to go like this, and you get that foot just over the edge, and it's pretty cold, just like you're testing the lake. So the first part of doing anything with Jesus is recognizing it's him and then getting over to the edge of the boat. The second one is slinging that leg over and walking. Now, he was doing it before he noticed the wind and the waves. Right? The saying yes is a really big deal in this process. And you got out there and you started into the lake and you start walking in there, and then things go weird or haywire or something you didn't see coming happens or something unexpected, or maybe it was expected but worse than you thought it was. Maybe it was exactly what you expected, but it didn't work. How many ways can what you're doing go wrong when you're doing it yourself? Lloyd says, a lot. Too many ways. Things can go so haywire and left or right or whichever way when you're on your own. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus and he's helping you out, it's going to get there. And by the way, he doesn't doubt you, and he knows what he's capable of doing. So if he says, yes, come do it, he's providing the methodology, the strength, how to fill your tank, how to stay in the process. That doesn't mean that you won't doubt. Doesn't mean, actually, the promise of God isn't not that you won't doubt, but that when you doubt, he'll be there for you when you cry out. That's the promise. I know that everybody, we always want it to be this other way, that I want to not doubt. Do you know how you begin to not doubt? You sling your leg over the boat on little things, and you do them, and you doubt it there, and you say, ah, Jesus, help me, and he goes, I got you. Doesn't matter whether this goes sideways or not, I still got you. And then the next time you do it, it's a different task, and you get over to the boat a little faster this time because you know it's him and you've heard his voice and you've experienced him saving you, and you sling your leg over that thing and you go, ah, Jesus, help me. And he goes, I got you. And you do this enough, and pretty soon, if you want to not doubt him, you have to pass through this little process of learning how he's got you when you doubt him. I don't know any other way to say it. If you want to not doubt, you have to practice figuring out that your doubt was wrong. If you want to be really good at something, you're probably going to have to do it kind of badly for a while until you get better at it. Are any of you know any master craftsmen in the world, people that just do something really well? How did they get good at that? They just popped out of a genie bottle and were perfect at it the second they learned how to do it. How many of you are good at what you do? Are you good at something? Are you good at something? Okay. Maybe you're not good at everything you do, but maybe you're good at something. This is real life, isn't it? But you're good at something. How did you get good at that? Were you good the second you started at it? No. Even the young man that I went out to orient, to mentor for a while, to get his trust, to get him to even trust that I was telling him the right thing. Do you know how many days we drew lines on a whiteboard with a thing just over and over and over and over again? He was going, well, I want to be an artist. I said, yes, you want control of your hand. We're going to get control of your hand, and I'm going to show you the process of how hard that is. You think, I can draw lines? Really? I want you to know that we practiced in art school drawing lines, freehand, the length of a piece of paper, a 16th of an inch apart, until the page was full of them. Now do that for a while and see how many times your pen touches the other lines. Because if it's doing that, you don't have control over your hand. Do you, Ken? Ken's an architect, so he's been trained some of the ways that I have, right? That when you're doing these lines and you're doing them freehand and you're doing them and you get to the spot where you can move your hand this fast and you're not touching the other lines, you have control. But there isn't any way to do that without practice. There isn't any way to serve the Lord in all those things without doubt until you've practiced overcoming doubt. And then what happens is he says to you, come, and you jump over the side of the boat and you go, oh, there's wind and waves here, but Jesus has got me. See, he doesn't remove the wind and the waves and the walking on water stuff. He removes your eyes from what the world is telling you to what he's telling you. And the only way for that to happen is this. Ah, help me. Ah, help me. Over and over and over again. I think I'm going to invite the musicians up and we'll just pray. Lord Jesus, when we're in the middle of a storm and we see you walking on the sea and we're doubting whether it's you or not, speak to our lives. Come into our lives. Help us know it's you. And then if it takes a sharp stick, Lord, poke us so that we get over to the side of the boat fast. Help us do that, Lord. In your precious name, amen.